a new research report from the Toronto-based career charitable organization CEREC titled Exploring Possibilities, Journeying Through Career-Related Learning in Grades 4 to 6 makes the case that career education and development needs to start in the early years for children. Dr. Lorraine Godden is a teacher, educational researcher, co-author of the report, and joins us on Canada Now. Dr. Godden, appreciate your taking the time.
Thank you for wanting to talk to me. I'm excited to be here.
Of course, thank you. Now, the report indicates 80% of parents surveyed think it's appropriate for grade 5 students to be thinking about their future careers, but only 28% of parents report that their child tells them about interesting jobs or careers that they've learned about at school.
Yes, that's certainly an interesting finding that we had. And I think it's rooted in a somewhat sort of limited understanding of what we mean by career. And often career is associated with jobs and employment. And yet career is actually rooted in the Latin word carus, and that refers to a chariot or a cart, so a means of travel and journeying. And those of us that are working in the career-related sort of field, that's our understanding and definition of career. So what we're thinking about is the journey that everyone takes through all of their experiences, all of their different learning situations, and how that impacts, you know, your decision-making and your choices and so on. Now, if you have that understanding of career, and I think that many parents actually do have that understanding because you think back to the choices you've made and you think back to your own journey and you see how lots of things have fed in to your career. But for children, often their understanding is more limited, and sometimes teachers' understanding is more limited, as in they don't see career through that lens in the work that they're typically doing in the classroom. So we think that's what explains this kind of difference in the finding. And I think also if parents are feeling that career is related to work and jobs, then yes, children come home from elementary school and they don't talk about jobs and employment. And we wouldn't expect them to, you know, nor should they be at that age. But they may well be talking about things that they're interested in, that they find are fun, that they've been able to achieve for the first time. And of course, all of those things are still important to us in the workplace, and they stay with us for life. So those are the pieces that we're referring to.
Well, when talking about careers at home, and I've got kids that are 10 and 8, so this is right in the wheelhouse here. And whenever we've talked about careers, and, you know, my kids have said, I think this is what I want to be when I grow up. I think this is what I want to do. And it's ranged from everything from astronaut to baseball player. And I love that. Those are such kid answers. They're great kid answers, right? And it could actually happen. But what we talk about is it comes back to school. And we talk about how they have to learn lots and lots and lots of different things. And as they get older, what they learn about is going to get more specific until they can make a choice about what they ultimately want to learn about so that they can be what they want to be professionally. That's how we end up describing it at home. And I'm not sure if we're on the right track. I think that we are, because I think that it's landed. But, you know, when talking about my career, I I've been doing this for a very long time, since I was a teenager, in fact. And I've talked about how I wanted to find something that I loved doing, because I'm going to spend so much time doing it if it's going to be my career. And I told my kids that I want them to find the things that they love to do, and so that could end up being their career. Is that how it should be discussed from a parenting standpoint? Is that the approach that should be taken in schools as well?
I think it is, partially. So I'm going to put that little caveat on it. And I think some of the things you've been saying are crucial. They're really important. So having those conversations with your children, helping to broaden their aspirations, like helping them to see that they do have choices. But I think when we think about this from the educational side, we understand that children learn many things in school. they learn subject knowledge. So they learn maths and literacy and all of those things that we know are important. And if I could give an example of that, math is so much in our everyday life, from using money, from being able to budget our own personal finances, from also if we work in any of the skilled trades, we often need to measure or to estimate or to calculate. You know, math happens in so many ways. So all of those subject areas are very, very important. But they don't necessarily, you know, not every child wants to go out and be a mathematician. So it's hard to say, well, how does this relate into helping me understand what I want to spend my life doing and what's going to make me feel happy and fulfilled? Well, subject area knowledge is a part of that, but also skills are a part of that. Learning about your aptitudes are an important part of that. And so when we're working with very young children, things like them learning how to have conversations with their friends. And a lot of that happens, you know, that's social, building those social skills. Learning how to be organized in their day-to-day tasks. Learning that when a teacher gives them a time period to complete something, then they have to do it within that time period. Now, many of these are transferable skills that move with us through schooling. They help us be ready for the next grade and the next batch of learning that's going to come towards us. But they also prepare us for life beyond our school. And so I think it's all of those things mixed up. Now, from a parental perspective, many of this or a lot of this skill building also happens in the home. You know, if you bake with your children, if you take your children swimming, you know, they're learning about what water feels like and how they float in water and all of those things that feed into other subject matter, you know, topics that they engage with in school, but they're also preparing them for all other areas of life. And you are absolutely right when you say helping your children to learn about themselves and also learn about what they enjoy doing. And that isn't necessarily a job title or a specific occupation, but it might be a whole range of tasks and activities that you would typically do within a certain job title. And so for yourself, as somebody who's, you know, spends time communicating with the public, clearly communication is going to be very, very important to you. And so, and you enjoy it. You enjoy, you know, having this conversation with your listeners. And so that realization for you as a young person has helped you to choose that career path. But it could have manifested in a number of different ways. It wasn't necessarily that you would end up being on the radio. You could have been on TV, or you could have been communicating in lots of other ways. But those are the pieces I think that are important that we work with our children to help them develop.
Dr. Godden, is there any concern that children will not only focus on what they excel at and what their passions might be, but areas in which they feel they don't excel? And I ask this because I coach my kids in baseball, for example. And at a very young age, some of the kids on my kids' teams, they've decided they're not good at playing particular positions that require different skill sets. They dismiss working on those areas and accept their belief that they aren't good at it. They'll tell me, I'll say, hey, do you want to play catcher? You know, put on the equipment and try playing. Like yesterday, last night in practice, I said to one of the kids, I said, do you want to practice being a catcher, putting on the equipment, the mask, and using the glove and everything? And he says, no, I'm not good at that. And I said, well, have you done it before? He said, no. I said, well, you haven't done it yet. How do you know? Like, this is practice. Why don't you give it a try? And he put everything on. I give him credit. He put everything on, and he tried it out for about 10, 15 minutes. And he didn't walk away impressed. But I feel over and over again that there are kids that believe at such a young age that they're not good at something. And very often it's because they just haven't tried it. Is there any concern about that in this particular topic?
I think that certainly the concern lies with how children feel about themselves. And we should all be concerned about that. No one wants a child to feel that they're unsuccessful. But at the same time, I think it's important for children to learn that every single human being has a range of skills and aptitudes, and we don't all have the same talents. I mean, that's the unique and special thing about us as human beings. Now, one of the really important things about skills is that skills can be learnt. As you know, through lots of practice, you can get better at something. Now, I think sometimes, you know, for whatever reason, I think some of this is just our what's portrayed in society about expertise and success. Children feed off of that, and they see people out there, you know, who look very accomplished and very successful, particularly sports, you know, different sports figures. And there's a lack of understanding, especially for early children, that that might have taken years and years and years of practice to get to that level, but they measure themselves against. And I guess we all do that. So I think having those conversations with children about it's okay to not feel very good at this right now, but you also need to understand that if you wish to, you can work on this, and that children have a choice, and that they can practice and work on this if they wish, and that actually there is absolutely no shame or disgrace in not being very good at something right now, but that this is a moment in time right now. Their skills will be very different next year and the following year and so on. And that's sometimes quite difficult for young children to understand, because what they're seeing right now is everything. And you know, so it's helping them understand that, maybe talking them through and giving examples of that and supporting them in that development. So I think all of us have important roles to play in how we interact with children and the words that we use and the language that we use and how we talk about ourselves as well with, well, I wasn't very good at that, but this is what I found helped me, you know, and this is how I practiced and this is how I got better. And having those open conversations, I think, are really useful for children.
I especially like what you said about how this is a moment in time. I'm going to borrow that if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
How does one start a conversation with a young person about this? Like, is it as easy as what do you want to be when you grow up?
I think that one of the fabulous resources we have, which we often overlook, is our surrounding environment and our local community. And that's something that can spark lots of conversations with children. I mean, for either when you're out in the community with your children, you can point out different shops and different buildings and different things, people that are doing different things, and have conversations with young children about what those folks are doing. So, you know, obviously in the winter here in Canada, we tend to have lots of snowplow operators. But that can spark a conversation about how folks work different times of day. They work night shifts. You know, they have to work when the weather is inclement weather. And you can have lots of conversations then about, so who else, you know, what other jobs are affected by the weather? What, you know, what do people do when it snows or when it rains too heavily or when it's very dry? And you know, you can have lots of conversations from moments like that and interactions like that with children. We can also make use of technology. I mean, Google Earth is amazing. Google Maps. I mean, for a teacher in a classroom, you can set projects, you know, that are based around that. So children have, you know, they go onto Google Earth and they have a look at their local town and they start to say, well, look, there's lots of buildings on that particular road that look different from the buildings on this particular road. Oh, look, if we investigate, we see this is all shops and retail. This is in industrial area. And then you can start saying, well, why are they in different areas? How do people travel? I mean, the possibilities are endless, and they're only really limited by your imagination. And they don't have to cost you money. That's the big key thing. We can, you know, help children to have lots of rich learning just from what surrounds them. And so I would encourage anybody to, you know, start to look at your local community with fresh eyes. Look at it through this lens and, you know, and really sort of nurture a child's natural curiosity and inquisitiveness to learn. And there's lots we can all learn about our local community and the types of work that is done and performed in our local community. And that can, you know, springboard lots of really important and valuable conversations and learning.
Well, and you mentioned a child's natural curiosity. I think that's something we can all take a tip from as well, is to be more curious with those around us and in our surroundings as well as adults. You mentioned technology. Has advancements in technology made it more prudent for children to have a vision of where they'll fit into the working world?
I think, I'm not sure that it's made it more important, but it brings a different and a new emphasis. Because if we look back through time, we've always had, I mean, we can look back to the Industrial Revolution that massively changed the way that we work. And so our technological advancements as human beings impact our environments and, you know, and our livelihoods. So I think to be aware of that and the fact that, you know, now, because we have become, on the whole, a better and better skilled human race, so therefore we are pushing those boundaries more quickly than we ever have before. What that means is that anything we're looking at now is likely to change and evolve over time. And so even the role of, if we look at the role of a doctor, for example, a medical doctor, they are still in the business of trying to heal people and trying to make people live, you know, fit and healthy lives. But the way that they conduct medicine has changed due to technological advancements. We can perform surgeries and medical treatments now today that we couldn't do 30 years ago. And so that's one role that, even though the job title is the same and on the surface it probably looks very similar, the technological advancements have changed what the capacity and the possibilities of the job. So I think helping children to understand that it doesn't matter what job you do, it's likely to shift over time. But also, technology brings new jobs. It brings possibilities that none of us know about right now. And so therefore, it is important to develop your capacity to embrace change, to be adaptable, to be flexible. And so, you know, that's one of the things that, I mean, sports teams is a fabulous example of this. When you have a group of young people and they're all playing different positions, and some children, you know, voice that they don't want to do that. So therefore, we move them around and we let them try other positions or other responsibilities within the team. What we're doing is helping children how to be adaptable and how to be flexible. And so through a lot of the daily interactions that we have with young children, we are already helping them develop those skills. When we see that through the career lens as well, it almost gives it an added importance and emphasis. We understand why this is important, what we're doing. We don't necessarily change what we're doing, but we have this deeper understanding of how we're helping young people to be prepared, as best as we can help them be prepared, for the lives that they're going to lead in the future.
Can you tell us about the Exploring Possibilities Toolkit and how it had helped teachers in their classrooms?
Yes. Well, we've deliberately called it a teaching toolkit rather than a teacher's toolkit. And this is for an important reason. We see this as being a valuable resource for anyone who's interested in supporting young children. But for teachers, there are lots of pieces in the toolkit which help them to actually take some of these ideas and enact them in the classroom. So we've had a focus on, for example, every chapter has an introduction to the topic area we're talking about. So, for example, one of the chapters is about working with your community and taking advantage of your community. So it begins with outlining why this is important. And this is backed by research, backed by evidence. But then we go on to, so what does this look like in my classroom? And then we're able to look through the eyes of a teacher in, what does this mean for me? Am I being asked to do something different? Am I being asked to do something extra? And these are important questions for teachers. They already have a full and busy curricula that they're trying to deliver. And so what we've done is we've tried to do that translation for teachers so they can see how tasks and activities they're doing with young children, they are already doing.
We're not asking or expecting anything extra, but we're just helping them to see the value of what they're doing through this lens. And then we talk about sort of, well, what might this look like in practice? So we give lots of different example resources and activities that teachers or parents or anyone working with young children could use. For example, we have a music quiz, and the music quiz is ask children to find different pieces of music that have a job or something to do with a job in the title. So Elton John, Rocket Man, you know, things like that, sort of fun activities, but that just push children's thinking a little. So we've got some example activities. One of the things we have done is we've really emphasized that we don't want to be prescriptive with this. We're hoping, as I mentioned before, to spark imagination and to just, you know, give some ideas as starting points. But then we would love teachers and parents to run with this and say, well, for my child or for my class, these are the needs I think they have, or these are the things I would like to do with my children. So we're not trying to say, oh, you have to do A, B, and C. We're saying, here is A, B, and C as an example. Now, you know, create your own or adapt, you know, as appropriate. And then finally, we point, so why does this matter? And we give some examples and some hints and tips about actually saying, so is this doing anything worthwhile? Am I wasting my time here, or is there something important happening here for the development of young children? So we really take sort of teachers right through that entire process. And as I said, we've picked the language and the examples so that parents can pick up this resource and also use it as well.
Check out CEREC.ca. Dr. Lorraine Godden, thank you.
You're very welcome.